We're going to have a short study. Would you pray along with me, please? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. I want to speak to you this evening about a vision for a blessed life. Are you in favor of that? I am. I want you to have a blessed life. I want to live a blessed life. And we're reading in the scriptures this weekend about God's view of a blessed life. He wants you to have a blessed life. He wants this blessed life to touch your family and to touch your descendants. And so this requires that we line up with the will of God. God wants us to live a blessed life. The only question is, do we want to live that? Do we want to receive the benefits of that blessed life? And in order to line your life up with the will of God, it's important to have very clear vision. You have to see something beyond your current situation, beyond your current circumstance. You have to see some things from God's perspective so that you can aim in a certain direction. Clear vision works together along with hope, courage, and faith. And together, they help us overcome the times of fear and the times of discouragement that we face. There are times when people want to move forward and they get through the tough situation that they're in because they see where they can get. Every little child who goes from being a crawler to a toddler has this moment where they're a teeter-totterer. And they are falling down, but with joy, they get back up. Imagine if a little one fell down once and said, "That's enough. I'm crawling for the rest of my life." And you met that person 20 years later at the grocery store, crawling around the Publix. You'd think, strange. Everyone learns to keep getting back up when they're young. And they do it for a reason. I remember one of my grandchildren always had a tough time when he was wanting to be ready to learn something new, but he wasn't yet ready. When he couldn't get up even at all, he could see the idea of walking, surrounded by walking people, but he couldn't get himself up, and he would struggle because he wanted to be a walker like the rest of us. He didn't have the power yet. And then I remember how peaceful he would get when he could get up. Even if he'd fall, it was like, ha ha, who cares? You know, I'm a walker too. He didn't have the words for it, but in every phase of his life, there was a moment of frustration when he saw what he wanted to be, but he didn't have the capacity, and that moment propelled him. Frustration can drive you forward, or it can cause you just to give up. And there is a healthy frustration when it's connected with clear vision. When you say, I know where I want to be. I know where I am, and I know where I want to be. Now, it's really important we don't just settle for the current condition that we're in. Of course, we have to know where we are. We need to take note of our current condition and our situation, but we can't just be defined by that. We need to know where we're headed. What are you aiming for? It's an important question. The journey is very important, but so is the destination. And if we don't have what the prophets called chazon, can you say that with me? Chazon. It means revelation, it means vision, it means insight from God. If we don't have chazon, we will perish. There's a wonderful proverb that says, where there is no revelation or without vision, the people perish. And I remember hearing a Hebrew speaker tell me that the language actually is more like this, that where there's not vision, the people let their hair down. And I thought, well, what does that mean? It means that they just relax so much, they don't care about what's next. They don't have vision that enables them to make choices to do certain things and to not do certain things. So we need chazon in order to determine what to say yes to and what to say no to. Now, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll look at a few verses together from our Torah portion this week. And I want to connect it to something from the Brit Chadasha. It starts by this. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God. I want to focus on that last statement, that you may fear the Lord your God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord shields us from other fears. That fear of God is a healthy respect mixed with love and devotion. It's not terror. It's not the fear of punishment. It's that love and respect. And I want you to think of something. Moses is writing this and speaking this to Israel at the same time that he is clearly aware that he's not going to cross over to the promised land. So Moses has been told, you're not going over, but Israel will go over, you won't. But that's the very moment when Moses says, prepare to go over. You see, Moses still has vision for the promised land, even though he's not going to go into the promised land. He's taking the vision he has, the commitment he's had all along, and he's still strong. He's not saying, oh, you know what? I'm a grandparent now. I don't have to worry about this stuff. I'm 120 years old. I've paid my dues. I don't have to do this anymore. He has prayed. The Lord told him, if you read the whole Torah portion, you'll see this. He prayed and the Lord said, stop talking to me. I know you want to go to the promised land. You're not going to. It's not for you to go in. And even so, he's strong. And one of the things that makes him strong is clear vision. He sees beyond himself. He sees beyond what he wants to accomplish, and he sees what all of Israel is called to. You see, sometimes God uses you to help other people move into their future. In fact, every one of us has benefited by the service others have done to us. We wouldn't be where we are if it were not for the help of other people. Now it goes on. You may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you. Say this word with me, you. Okay, now touch yourself, you. And your son, and your daughter, we can say it that way, your children. If you've got a child sitting next to you, poke them. Yeah. Brian's poking Marlene. Well done. And your grandson and grandchildren. So how many generations are represented by this series? Three generations. You, your children, your grandchildren. Of course, some of you will say, well, I don't have any children or grandchildren, but that doesn't mean you aren't one of these. You may be a grandchild. You are. Everyone's a grandchild, isn't that true? Even if your grandparents are dead. Everyone's a son or a daughter, even if your parents are dead. Keep all of his statutes all the days of your life. I want you to say that with your own mouth, all the days of your life. You see, God has called us to a lifelong service to him and commitment to him. It's not temporary, it's not short term. It's not just for a moment. It's not just an emotional response at a meeting where one says, okay, and then the next day forgets. No, this is all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. So in this, we see how important it is to have a vision for the future, a vision for yourself, a vision for your family, a vision for your grandchildren, a lifelong vision, not just a short-term vision. And a long-term view that equips you for the short term. I was talking to John, who's teaching his son Mark to drive. An hour a day is the goal. Get those 50 hours in so he can drive, right? And the school year is so demanding, it's hard to get enough time in. But you have a vision for your son. You want him to be mobile. You might even want him to chauffeur you around. Yeah. To go to the grocery store on his own and do the shopping. What do you think about that, Maggie? That would be nice, wouldn't it? Mark, here's the list, go. It continues, verse 3. Therefore, listen, O Israel, and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you. This is the part that I love so much. Here's the will of God, that it may be well with you. What's the will of God? That it be well with you. How many of you are in favor then of the will of God in your life? I would like it to be well with me. And that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. This is a clear vision of good. And do you see the hope that's embedded in here? It may be well with you. Well, I want that. I read this week and I thought, I want it to go well with me. How long do you want it to go well with you? Always, right? Now, of course, you know there are going to be obstacles. And it's important for me to remind you, God is not against pain. Can you say that with me? God is not against pain, and there are reasons why he's not against pain. If he were against pain, there would be no babies born, right? Okay, so we wouldn't be here. If he were against pain, there'd be no crawlers who turned into toddlers because they fall down. If he was against pain, there'd be no surgeons who could do corrective surgery to help. If he were against pain, oh, I remember when I learned this. Terrible lesson. I was 10 years old playing football. I saw a football player on TV hurdle someone who was trying to tackle him. And I thought, what a great idea. And so we're playing in a friend's backyard. I'm carrying the ball. I'm running. And guy from the other side gets down to tackle me. And I think, I can do it. And I almost did it. And I leaped over him and made it over, but my toe caught his shoulder. I flipped and landed on my left leg, and I didn't know it at the time, but within a few hours, I knew the details. I had a spiral fracture that went three times around. Okay, so I'm in the hospital, and the orthopedist is there, and I'm telling him, you know, it hurts, and he says, where does it hurt? Well, I point. He touches, and he's pushing because he wants to know exactly where it hurts. I learned such a lesson that day. And he said, you know, I don't have to set it. You should be happy because it's really painful to get it set. But I understood this. As an orthopedist, he was not against pain. He understood that sometimes you have to use a painful tactic to bring people out of the pain that they're in or the condition they're in. Dr. Chuck, you pull teeth, don't you?
All the time.
You're not against pain, are you? I mean, you want to minimize it. You want to give the anesthesia, right? But you know, there are times when it's, not you. It's not like in the cartoons, folks. He's painless. He does it right. I went to have my wisdom teeth out as a teenager. That doctor was not against pain. He pulled out all my wisdom. God is not against pain. He doesn't want you to suffer needlessly, but he understands that many great accomplishments require periods of pain, moments of pain, situations that are painful. And so it's important to understand that God will bring us through those into a condition where it goes well with you. Now, I've noticed last week when we were talking about how fear and discouragement can stop people, that many people are stuck in the condition of discouragement and the condition of fear, the condition of hopelessness. And they have lost the sense that God wants it to go well with them. And so they're just hunkering down to endure a painful life and to try to anesthetize themselves as much as they can to keep going. But I want to tell you, don't settle for that. God wants it to go well with you. Now, that's not my opinion. That's his opinion. I'm trying to share with you his opinion. So if you want to line yourself up with the will of God, you have to know God's opinion on something. What's the will of God that it go well with you? Now, he's straight. He'll tell you what will cause you to have a life that goes well and what will take you away from that life. And that's why it's important to listen to him and to line your life up with his understanding. He wants you to be full of hope. He wants to give you blessing. He wants you to have courage. You see, hope builds up your courage. Hope says to you, I can do more. Hope says, I can endure more. Hope says, I can persevere. Hope for the goal that's set before you causes you to study hard, to work hard, to exercise, to do everything that's necessary. Now let's go to verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. This is central. Yeshua called this the greatest commandment. In the Gospel of Mark, he includes the Shema, which we just read, and the Ve'ahavta together. And so Yeshua is saying to listen and to love God. This is the great commandment. To listen and to love describes a relationship that's active, alive, and very personal. Now let's just practice the Hebrew together. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol. I'm listening. I stopped, you stopped. Uvachol, nashecha, uvachol, meodecha. Good. Thank you, Greg. You can keep going, but we'll stop here. Now, you should have this verse hidden in your heart. You should have it memorized. You need to use it frequently. And other people need to hear this from you. And then verse 6. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Where do the words need to be? In the heart. Okay, so they got to go through the ear into the heart. And that requires that we have an open heart. Then verse 7, which is so relevant for what we focused on earlier today when Eric was presenting about our children's program at Shabbat school and our educational program. You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. To teach them diligently to your children. Now, this is coming from Moses, who is saying it's not just that you teach your own family, you teach the family of the whole community. To see the community as your family in this way is so important. And I can tell you that the Jewish world has taken this to heart, which is why there are educators among the Jewish people who are committed to children's education. For the Messianic movement to have a future, we need to walk in our heritage that says we will be committed to children's education and not just adult education. Teach them diligently. This is every parent's calling, to teach diligently, to teach your children. And some people say, well, I'm not called to be a teacher. Yes, you are. How do I know that? The scripture says you're called to teach your children. Now, you may not be called to be a professional educator, of course. Some are, some aren't. But everyone is in a situation where they have to teach their own children and then they have to help other children as well. Now, there's one other thing here. This idea of teaching your children can be understood broadly, but it's not limited to classroom experience here. It also is speaking of the routines of life. And so, parents, I want to share with you. You want to spend time with your family in a way when you can do this, where you can just through the day have talk about God, have talk about life and the situations that you and your children and your grandchildren are facing. I'm really grateful to my wife. Sandy had a clear idea, clear vision, that she and I needed to spend time with each of our grandchildren individually. We've got 7 grandchildren now. And so in addition to having group time together, We need to know them better by being alone with them. Our son has 5 kids, and there are times when I'll say to him, how do you get time just with one of them? And it was tough during certain periods of life. Some of you know what it's like. But there are other times where you have to really make a concerted effort so that you have one-on-one time with the children. Now, sometimes the mothers are better at this than the fathers are. Dads, we need to get good at it, spending time with them. Verse 8, you shall bind these words as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You see, they're markers. We need reminders, even routines. But these are external markers. What's the most important place to put God's word? In your heart. But what helps? Seeing it around your house. Every time I walk from my car into my house, I see the mezuzah on the back door. And it reminds me of something, these very words. Now, because of time, I'm going to wrap it up. Verse 10. And so shall it be, when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. Say that phrase with me. You did not build. Houses full of all good things which you did not fill. Say that with me. You did not fill. Hewn out wells which you did not dig. Say this with me. Did not dig. Vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. Say that with me. Did not plant. Did not build. Did not fill. Did not dig. Did not plant. Those are details of the blessings of God, where you receive God's promises and you receive more than you worked for, more than you accomplished. You enjoy the work of others, and this gives us a vision for something. If I could convey this one part to you, I'd feel like I was effective for tonight. It is a vision to live a blessed life that blesses other people and causes them to have something they can pass on to others. When you have that clear vision, it causes you to make very important choices. Today I heard from someone over 30 years old, who was remembering when I taught her when she was a little kid. And I thought, I'm glad she remembers. But it's a precious part of her memories. And now I'm touched because she wrote, you know, to say, wow, I have this great picture and memory of the experience, you know, from when I was a little kid. She's an adult now. And I think that was worth it. Now, I took that position of teaching when I was leading the congregation, and I would ask the parents to bring their kids early so I could teach them, so I could do all the other things. And some people would say, well, why would you do that? And I'll tell you why. Because it makes a difference. Because the children are worth it. Because if I can pour something into them and they can grow up with that and give it to others, then it was worth it. And you might say, well, I don't have the time for it. No one has the time for unimportant things, but we need to make the time for important things. The blessed life is not limited to you receiving blessings, but it's bigger than that. You receive blessings that you then give to others, specifically the next generations. So with that, I want to close. I've got more to say. You can hear it tomorrow or on the podcast. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you gave us words in Torah that speak to us about life going well with us, about you blessing our life, and you directly tied that in to the generations that will follow us. And so we learn something from you, Lord. We learn that you keep the future in view at all times. And you're looking for good now and good in the future for us and for those who follow after us. I pray that you would bless us. I pray, Lord, that we would have many who join together, who volunteer to serve the young people in this congregation, in this community, knowing that 10, 20, 30 years from now, they'll see fruit that will encourage them forever. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen. Well, let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? If you're standing by yourself, if you don't mind, would you move and be with someone else? Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'yichunecha yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasam lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.